Good morning. I'll tell you what, it is good to be out in God's house this morning. You know, I'm going to be preaching a sermon this morning. God put upon my heart, and I've told you this before, man, I'll tell you what, I battled about this week. And I thought, Lord, you know, it's going to be hard. I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to be hard this morning. And I want you to understand something. I'm only doing it because God loves you, and I want you to understand that. God loves me, and he loves you. And you know, my wife was talking to me last night, and she said, Dave, she said, you know, I can tell something's bothering you. And there's some other things, but this is one of these things, and I want you to understand something this evening. We serve a God that loves you so much. And you know what? I'm not going to stand up here and just preach stuff that comes just from me. I want you to understand that. Because I believe this is what somebody in this church needs it. Maybe I need it this morning. Maybe you do. But I want you to understand something this morning. You know what? If God deals with you this morning, I want you up at this altar, please. I want you to understand. I want you at this altar this morning if God deals with you this morning. Because you know what? We have no guarantee of another day. We have no guarantee of that. If you would, turn with me over to 2 Corinthians, the 13th chapter and the 5th verse. 2 Corinthians 13, 5. Examine yourselves. Whether ye be in the faith, prove your own selves. Know ye not that your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates. I'm going to read that again. Examine yourselves, whether ye be in the faith, prove your own selves. Know ye not that you know your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates. Let us pray. Father, as we come, Lord, this morning, Father, I want to thank you for the opportunity that I have, Lord, to be in your house. I want to thank you for the opportunity, Lord, that I have, Lord, to stand here. I pray, Father, that you know what? That your will be done here this morning. I pray, Father, that you would get me out of the way, Lord. You know, here it is, Father, February the 25th, 2018, Lord. And Father, I know today is that day, Lord. You know, that day, today is a day of salvation in someone's heart. I realize that, Father. And Lord, this is Father, you know, you've given us a call. You've given us the way, Lord. And I pray, Father, that this morning, Lord, that you would let me do this in your will and in your way. In Jesus' name we pray and ask, and amen. Amen. I want you to mark 1 John because I'll be over there in a little bit. You know what? Are you up to taking a test this morning? I want to ask you a question. I just read you scripture where to examine ourselves. I want you to take a spiritual exam this morning, everybody in here. And it's just between you and God, and you're the only one that's going to know the score of this test this morning. You're the only one. I want to lay out a question here this morning to everybody in this church. How do you know that you're saved? I'm asking you that right up front this morning. God has put this upon my heart, and this is dead serious. I'm dead serious as attack this morning. How do you know that you're saved? Well, preacher, mom and dad brought me to church whenever I was a child. No, that doesn't mean that you're saved. I don't care if your mom and dad brought you as a little baby. I don't care if grandma brought you as a little baby. That does not mean that you're saved this morning. You don't get to heaven on the shirt tails of somebody else. The Bible says, work out your own salvation in fear and trembling. Preacher, I've been going to this church for 40 years. You know what? The Bible does not say that Christianity involves a seniority system. Amen? There's nothing to that. Christianity is not based on the seniority. I'm asking you again, are you saved here this morning? Do you know Jesus as your personal Savior? Well, preacher, I was baptized. I didn't ask you if you were baptized. I asked you if you are saved this morning. If you are bought by the blood of Jesus. You know what? Are you saved? Ephesians 2, 8, 9. This is important. Listen to this. For by grace are you saved through faith. And not of yourself. It is the gift of God. Now listen to this. Not of works, lest any man can boast. Baptism does not save you. Again, let me ask you, are you saved this morning? I ask you, you know, you said, well, I believe, preacher. How do you know that you believe? I'm dead serious this morning. How do you know what you believe in? If I were just to dismiss this congregation this morning, and I would send you out into this county here today to go out and talk to those out in here in the world, do you know that there would be a majority of them that say that they believe? Do you know that? They would say that I believe. And let me ask you something. You know full well in your heart that those that say they believe, some of them don't believe. Amen. That's why I say, you know what you say? Oh, I believe. I believe. And we, when we wouldn't, and you know, well, listen to me, listen. You know, I guarantee the majority of them would say that. If you would go into the beer joints, into the crack houses, into the casinos, and you would ask some of them if they believed, I'm going to tell you, some of them would tell you they believed. But I'm here to tell you their life does not bear the fruits of that they believe. You know what I'm talking about? You know what I'm saying? We would find people that say they believe. How can we be sure that we believe what we believe, Greg? How do we be sure? You know what James 2:19 says? Thou believest that there is one God. Thou doest well. The devils also believe. The devils also believe. And they tremble. 2 Thessalonians 2:11 and 12. For this cause God shall send them strong delusions that they should believe a lie. That they might, and that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. There are some that will believe that they believe, and they believe a lie, and then they're going to end up there, believe a lie, and they will be damned. 79% of the people in this country, I just did a survey, 79% of the people said they believe. We all know that not all of them believe. Amen? We know that. Are you judging? No, I'm not. By your fruits you shall know them. Well, preacher, I just know that I know. Proverbs 14:12. There's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof is the ways of death. Let me ask you again. Yeah, you may believe, but are you believing the right thing this morning? Well, preacher, I know my heart of hearts that I'm saved. Jeremiah 17:9 tells us this. The heart is deceitful above all things. And desperately wicked. Who can know it? So do you really want to trust a mind that's faulty and a heart that can be wicked? Do you want to trust that here this morning? I'm here to tell you. I'm going to give you an exam to tell you how that you know that you are saved and going to heaven this morning. We'll take it here in a little bit. There are people who tell you that they're saved because the preacher told them so. That their mom or dad told them so. Or grandma and grandpa told them so, or Aunt Lucy or Uncle Ted told them so, or a good friend told them so. Let me ask you a question this morning. When did man have that authority to let somebody know that they're saved? When did man have that authority? You'll never see this preacher come up here and grab somebody and say a prayer with them and say that they're saved. You're never going to see me do that. I'll pray with them, but I'm not going to pull them aside and, you know, say a little prayer with them and say, you're good now. You know why? Because when you get up out of there, you've got to know for yourself that Jesus Christ is in your heart. It isn't something that the preacher or the mom or the dad or the aunt or the grandma can tell you. Let me tell you, you know if you're sitting here this morning that Jesus lives in your heart, and you know that if He doesn't. And maybe the worst of all, I'm saved because I have walked with God. Our walk with God is not past tense. Do you understand that? Our walk with God is not past tense. It is not. Colossians 2:6. So then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, Marcus and Yella, continue to live your lives in Him. It isn't past tense. We've got to continue to live our lives this day. It's not past tense. Brothers, if you're not walking with God in this moment in time, I'm here to tell you, you better be checking on your relationship with God. Amen? If you're not walking with Him the 25th of February today, 2018, check your relationship with the God that you're supposedly serving. Folks, it's not because one time we believed, but because we continue to believe. It's not because one time we walked with Him, but because we're still walking with Him, Sean. Today. Not because something happened years ago. Listen, that's why the Bible tells us that He that began a good work in us will finish it. If we're willing to stay. Amen? That's what the Bible says. In 13, that verse of Scripture I read to you, Paul talked to the Corinthian church. There were many in that church who professing to be brethren, professing to be Christians.
And Paul says, Paul said, many of them knowing were walking in carnality. That's what he said. He knew that. That's why he said to them what he said. He didn't just mention their conversion. Did you notice that? He didn't mention when they got saved. He said, listen, doesn't ask him when the time you first asked Jesus in your heart. He didn't even mention it. He goes right to the present tense. Examine yourself, whether you be in the faith. Prove your own self. Know ye not that your own self, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobate. You know what he's saying? But test yourself to see if you're in the faith. Examine. Examine yourselves. Do you not realize that Jesus Christ is in you? That's what he's trying to tell them. That Jesus Christ is, unless, of course, you fail the test. Unless you fail it here this morning. We need to test ourselves. We need to keep our fingers on our spiritual pulse. This isn't something that just happened years ago. Greg, we got to do it today. We got to do it tomorrow. We got to do it next year for the Lord's love. We got to keep our fingers on the spiritual pulse. Why am I asking you this morning? Why am I asking? Turn over to Matthew 7, 13 and 14. You all know this scripture. This is why this is important. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life. Few be there that find it. There's going to be few that find it. Why? Because they're going to believe that they're all right. They're going to believe everything's all right. They're going to believe that everything's just right between them and God. And you know what? And they know deep down in their heart, Larry, that it's not. And they're going to go out into eternity, and they're going to find out that they went through the wrong gate. So that begs the question, what is the test? What is the test? First off, we need to examine our Bible study habits. I say this all the time. Are you the one that likes to get into your Bible all the time? Are you? I'm just asking you. Are you the one that likes to read your Bible? Likes to take the... If God's Word is important to you, if it's important to read it and to live by it, do you make Bible reading and Bible study a habit in your life? Listen to me. I told you this is something God had pressed upon me this week about this so bad. Listen to me, folks. If you like something, if you want to read something, you get into it, don't you? Amen? If you're part of what, you get into God's Word as much as you possibly can. In reality, we don't have time for any, we shouldn't have time for anything else. Right? Listen, He saved me. And I know there's some in here that are saved as well. But I'm here to tell you this morning, I want to get into His Word as much as I can. Ron, whenever I come down the road and I'm listening to my radio, I'm trying to find preaching. I try to listen to God's Word. I try to find preaching. I'll listen to talk shows. I listen to whatever I can find, whatever that I can get God's Word and God's will into my life. I try that all the time. That's not bragging on Dave Long. Don't think that's bragging on me, because you know what? If it wasn't for Jesus in my heart, I wouldn't even have no desire. I wouldn't have no desire whatsoever to do that. Listen, you know what? We shouldn't have anything else on our mind other than that. 2 Timothy 3:15 and 17 says this, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. You want to know how to live your life? Get into God's Word. That's it. That's how we do it. If you would test yourself, let me ask you, if you would take that Scripture that I said you just read, if you would test yourself in the light of Scripture, when you go out of here this morning, how would your life hold up to it? How would your life hold up? Would you find yourself whole, complete? Would you find yourself born again if you take God's Word and you put your life up against it? How would you find yourself? I'm here to tell you, this is not something that's a whimsical thing. I'm not going to, you know what, that I'm talking about. It's not. It's not just something to think about for a little bit here in the service for the next 15 to 20 minutes, then go out of here and not worry about it again. I'm telling you, I have cried about this week because you know what? It is important to somebody's life in here this morning. It's important to your spiritual life here this morning. I'm not going to take it lightly. I will not take it lightly. This is not some light examination that you need to do. This is about eternity. Do you understand me? I believe that with every ounce of being in me. This is about eternity. It's time to test ourselves. It's time. Stop relying on what everyone else thinks or what everyone else is doing. And stop comparing ourselves to others. We don't compare ourselves to others. We compare ourselves to the Word of God and the light of the Word of God. That's who we compare ourselves to. Not no one else in this church. Not no one else. You listen, because the clear majority of those in America, listen, they call themselves Christians, and I'm going to say it right out blunt, they're lost. They're lost. And you know what? We don't need to be comparing ourselves to that. We got to compare ourselves to the Word of God. That's why we are to test and examine ourselves to make sure. That's why they're not to take this lightly. That's why God said, this is not for you to listen to this preacher this morning and walk out of here and forget it. I don't want you doing that. When you go out of here this morning, I want you to test yourself and continue to test yourself. Don't allow Satan to steal the Word of God. Don't allow him to do that to any of you in here this morning. The Bible says the sower soweth the Word, and these are they that by the wayside where the Word is sown, but when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the Word that was sown in their hearts. You know what? If God's dealing with you right now and you go out of here and you let Satan take the Word out of there, if he lets, I don't know. I'm just telling you, God only has to deal with you once. That's all he promises. He has to deal with it. You know what? He could deal with you 100 times, but he only has to deal with you once. But if you're here this morning, and while the Spirit of God is talking to you, and while the Word is being preached, examine yourself this morning. Examine yourself. Don't depend on the preacher to come back and look at your life and tell you what it's like. Because you know why? The preacher can't see your heart. But God can. God can see your heart. And while the Word is being preached, examine yourself and let the light of God's Word go through every ounce of what's going on in your life. Sin is a deadly thing. Do you know that? Sin is deadly. Sin waits outside these doors whenever you get out of this church, just like a lion crouched to jump on you. You think that's hyperbole? I don't think so. I know it's the truth. I know it is. And his sole desire is to have you and to have your family. And the Lord said unto Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. Dalton, he wants you. He wants to shift you like wheat. He wants everybody in here, like everybody in here, listen to me. He wants to do that to you. Everybody, listen, we have to examine ourselves and make sure, does your life hold up? Does it fall short? Throw yourself into the mercies of God this morning. Listen to me, if after this sermon this morning and you feel the tug of God on your heart, throw yourself to the mercies of God. Come to this altar. Don't walk, run to it. It's that important. It is that important here this morning that we do that. Until the work has been done in your life. Amen? I believe, this is what this preacher believes. I believe that if you are lost and you come up here, God will do a work in your life. And you'll know that work's been done. There won't be no guessing. There won't be no asking. You'll know that the work has been done. That's what I said. You're not going to see me up here trying to repeat words after me about being saved, because Jesus Christ does a better job than I could ever do saving a soul. You might have to cry out until the work is done, Sean. You know what? There are people that go, wow. You know, and they keep coming back until God finally does the work in their life. But don't give up. Don't give up. Until the work is done in your life. Psalms 52:7 says, I will cry unto the Lord Most High, unto God that performeth all things for me. I'm going to cry to him. when I got a problem, when I got, I'm going to cry out to Him. If you're here this morning, lost, if you're here this morning and you don't feel like you did before, come to this altar and cry out to Him. Do that. How can we test ourselves? How can we be sure? Let's go to the Word of God. That's the best place to do it. Go with me to 1 John 5:13. That's where I'm going to start. And I'm going to tell you why I'm going to start there as soon as I read it. 1 John 5:13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. Now this is important. That ye may know that you have eternal life. Did you get that? These things that I have written unto you, that ye believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. John wrote that there. He's talking about the epistle of 1 John, is what he's talking about. What he wrote in there is for you to know. It is a test. If you want to know where you stand as a Christian, I encourage you to take the book of 1 John and read it through. And let it sink into your heart. And then you judge yourself by the word of 1 John. And that's what he said. If you want to know if you're born again, read the book of 1 John. That'll let you know. Because the book is made up, it's nothing but a series of tests through there. And we're going to take the test here in a little bit. And we're going to take the test. And I pray to God. I pray to Him this morning. If you're sitting here and you're uncertain, open up your spiritual ears and let God talk to you this morning. Let Him do it. Let Him do it. Listen to the Word of God. Compare the Word of God to your secret life. Preacher, what are you talking about my secret life? What are you talking about that for? Listen to me. I want you to compare the Word of God to the person you are out of here. We've all got spiritual makeup on this morning. We've got church makeup on this morning. Amen? Amen? You know what I'm talking about? We have church makeup on this morning. We're in here this morning, and we look good. We're looking good. I don't want you to compare yourself to that. I want you to compare yourself to the person you are out of this church. I wanted you to compare yourself to the person you are when no one is around. That's who I want you to compare the Word of God to. You know what? You come in here, you look pretty in front of everybody. Amen? We can look pretty spiritual. You know what? We all come in here and we're all look really pretty and we're all this, you know, this and that. That's not who I want you to compare yourself to. I want you to compare yourself to that person, you know what? That person that's out of here, that whenever no one's around or when you're with your friends, you take that person, hold that person up to the light of God's word. And then see, you may think that I'm being harsh. You may think this morning that I'm intense this morning. Amen. I am tense. How would you expect me to be? Ron, Mary, let me ask you a question. I thought about this last night. If Jacob was out here and there was a truck backing up over him and I was stood there and you guys weren't around, and I stood there and I didn't say anything, or maybe, hey, Jacob. Hey, Jacob. Or maybe I just stood back like this. What'd you think? Huh? What would you guys think? That wouldn't be right, would it? You'd expect me to say, no, quit it. And that's what I'm telling you this morning. Listen to me. This is why I'm intense, because praise God. Listen, this is important to everyone in here this morning. This is important. You want me to, I am intense when it comes to this, because whenever it's souls being lost and going to eternity in hell forever, I am intense. Would you expect me to, you know, listen. 1 John 1:6. This is the first test question. 1 John 1:6. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Did you get that? If you're saying that you are a Christian, if you're saying you are a Christian, and you know what? We said we have fellowship with Him. And we walk in darkness. We lie. Did you get that? And if there is sin in your life, you are not walking with Him. Dave, you're judging. Dave, you're judging, and you don't know my heart. Listen to me. Listen to me, brother. If we say that we are saved and continue to walk in sin, am I going to tell you that's okay? No, I'm not going to tell you that's okay. Because that's what 1 John's saying. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and we walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Do not the truth. What's it mean to be walk? That means your lifestyle. That's what it's talking about. If your lifestyle, if you're saying you're a Christian and your lifestyle says that you are walking in the world, you are not saved, you are lying. You are lying. That's pretty blunt, is it not? That is pretty blunt. What happens to those that lie and don't repent? Revelations 21, 7 and 8 tells us best. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving, the abominable, murderers, whoremongers, sorcerers, and adulterers, and it says, all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire. Listen, that's pretty blunt, is it not? If you're saying that you are a Christian this morning and you continue to live the lifestyle, continue to walk down that path that the Word of God says not to, that's the first question on the test. And I'm asking you here this morning, are you saying that you're a Christian here this morning, but your life does not bear it out? The fruit doesn't, you continue to walk in darkness? He's saying that you're a liar. The next question on our test, 1 John 2, 3 and 5. Hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. If they saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whosoever keepeth his word, and in verily is the love of God perfected, hereby know that we are in him. That's pretty plain language, is it not? This is the second question on the test for you this morning. Listen, you know what? Disobedience. I'm not talking about the Ten Commandments. You understand that, don't you? That's not what that's talking about there. He's talking about the commandments. And I'll read some of them to you. In Galatians 6:2, bear ye one another's burdens. That's a commandment. That is a commandment that they wrote in the Scripture. Bear ye one another's burdens. Or how about over in 1 Thessalonians 5:16-28, and it says this. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the Spirit, despise not prophesying, prove all things, hold fast that which is good, abstain from all appearance of evil, and the very God of peace shall sanctify you wholly. I pray, God, that your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved, blameless, unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful he that calleth you also will do it. Brethren, pray for us. Greet all brethren with a holy kiss. I charge you by the Lord that the epistle that be read unto all the holy brethren, that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be in you. Amen. These are some of the commandments that they're talking about there. And ever he's telling us to keep them, that's what he's talking about. It's the Word of God. Those are some of the things we need to do. Folks, if we are not keeping his commandments, again, he calls us a liar. He calls us a liar. Is your life, listen to me, is your lifestyle marked with the desires to know and keep God's commandments? Is your life that way? I hope and pray it is this morning. 1 John 2:6. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked. You know who he's talking about? We should walk like Jesus. Now, that's a pretty hard work of order, is it not? That's pretty hard, right? That's what you think. Well, John's saying something pretty hard. Let me tell you something. Have you ever seen the story of the man and his little boy that were walking in the snow? Have you ever heard that story? And as he walked, his little boy tried to get into his footsteps. Worked as hard as he could to try to get into his footsteps and follow the way that he followed and do the things that he did. Listen to me. Our desire should be want to put our footprints in the footprints of Jesus Christ as much as we can.
We should have a desire to do God's will as much and as possible. Listen to the preacher. Listen to me, brothers and sisters. Listen, if you do not have a desire here this morning to try to want to live like Jesus Christ lived, listen to me. You're failing the test. You're failing it. I'll read it again. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk even as he walked. He loved unconditionally, did he not? There's a lot of things we could go into. But we got to try to walk like the Lord walked. We got to try to get in his footsteps. And we got to try to get into the Word and try to find out just how he walked and strive with every ounce of being in us to try to walk like him. We have to. Knowing full well there are times the Word are going to fail, right? There's going to be full times that we are going to fail, but we have got to try. Just don't sub back and say, well, there's no way I could ever live like Jesus. That's not what the Word says. We've got to try. We've got to try. Let me ask you something. Is your greatest desire to be like Jesus this morning? I want to ask you that. This is pretty hard. I know this is hard preaching. I knew that. I'll tell you what. I guarantee it probably makes some people mad. I guarantee you that there are some churches that would make people mad if I said this. But you know what? Let me ask you. Is your greatest desire to be like Jesus this morning? Because if it's not, you're failing the test. You're failing it. Is your greatest desire to emulate him? Is your greatest desire to be like Jesus? You know, are you seeking to put your footprints in his footprints again this morning? Are you seeking to do that? Listen to this preacher, ladies and gentlemen. Listen to me. If you're not, you need to be afraid. You need to be afraid. Preacher, why would you tell people to be afraid? Why would I tell people? Because you ought to be afraid if you're flunking this test. That's why. God has put it upon my heart and tears have flowed down my eyes this week. You ought to be afraid if you're flunking this test. You need to get to this altar. You need to get to an altar somewhere. And you need to have Jesus Christ into your life. If you're flunking this test, that's what you need. Because you ought to. Matthew 10:28. Fear not them that kill the body, but are able to kill the soul. But rather fear him that is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Isn't that something to be afraid of? That's something to be afraid of. If you were to look at a film of your life right now, if there is possible that you have had a film of your life from the time that you were a child up until this point right now, how would your life be according to the Word of God? How would it be? Do you have a desire to walk like the Savior this morning? Do you desire to walk like someone else, maybe? Your desire to walk like the world, maybe. Talk like the world. Fellowship with the world. Is that your desire here this morning? Is that what you want? Do you identify with the world, or do you identify with Jesus Christ? That's my question for you here this morning. Whether you need rededication in your life, or whether you need saved here this morning, I'm telling you, how are you doing on the test so far? I'm telling you, I read this down through the week. I had to get some things right. Amen? I'm going to tell you. I had to get some things right. God showed me some things. 1 John 2:9-11. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whither he goeth. Listen to this, because that darkness has blinded his eyes. Folks, when we're talking about brothers, you know who we're talking about? We're talking about Christian believers. You know that? If you say you're a Christian and do not love other believers in a real and practical way, if you do not love them in a real and practical way and desire to fellowship with them, if you do not desire to fellowship with them, you're lost. You're lost. This isn't me saying, this is the Word of God telling you right here. Remember when Jesus said, You know, over, let's turn to Matthew 25. 25, 34 through 46. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come, ye blessed of my fathers, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundations of the world. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee as hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say to you, as much as ye have done it unto the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Then shall he say also unto them on the left, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was as hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick and in prison, ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee hungered, or athirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, verily unto you, insomuch as ye did it not unto one of the least of these, ye did it also unto me. Let me give you a little background on that scripture. Do you realize that back in the days when they put somebody in prison, they didn't feed them? Did you know that? They didn't bring food to them. There are some nations today that they don't bring food to when they put them in prison. They'll just die. And these people, these brothers, these little ones he's talking about, were some of the Christians that they threw into prison. And if some of the other Christians didn't bring them food, they would die in prison. And what he's saying is, you did it. And there were sometimes, if they did not bring the food to them, they would die. And I'm here to tell you, and just think about it, a Christian going up to feed another Christian, they would arrest him too. This is what it was about. This is what it's about. If you don't do it to the least of them, Sean. Listen to me. Listen here this morning. Listen. You know, the scripture tells us. The scripture tells us here. You know, we have got to love. We have got to do that. You know what? We have got to do the things that the Father wants us to do. You know what? Do you love to be with people? Do you love to talk about them? Do you love to worship God? This is for you all. Listen to me. Do you love to be with God's people this morning? Look in your heart. Listen to your heart. What is your heart telling you? Do you love to be with God's people? Or would you just rather be with people, other people, who have nothing to do with God or anything to do with church? You understand this is demonstrating who you are, right? I'm talking to everybody in here this morning. You understand this is who you are. In your heart, if you're saying, I'd rather associate with somebody outside of the church. I'd rather associate with somebody out here in the world than I would with church people. You're understanding that you are talking about what you are. How many of you were raised on a farm? You can raise your hand. How many were raised? I was raised on a farm, yeah. Listen, did you see chickens hanging out with pigs on the farm? Did you? Did you see them hanging out together? No, chickens usually hang out with chickens and pigs hang out with pigs, right? That's right. That was their nature. That's what they did. And you may say, well, I'm a believer and all my family are non-believers. Listen, 2 Corinthians 6, 13 through 15. We heard this scripture used for marriage, but this applies to Christians. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what concord with Christ with Baal? Or what part has he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. Listen to me. You want to talk about where the church is at? The church is right here. Amen. Right here. That's where it's at. That's why it's important. That's why he's saying, and be not agreed that the temple of God is idle. For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. And I will receive you and will be a father unto you, and you shall be your sons and daughters, and saith the Lord God Almighty. Again, I ask you, do you love other Christians this morning? That's
That's for you, that's between you and God this morning. You know where you stand on that. Now, Dave, I come to church. I didn't ask if you come to church. I said, do you love the brethren? You can love the brethren out of here. We can come here to church on Sunday morning and pray. You know what? We can pretend like we love everybody. Do you really love brethren? Do you really love them? Do you love the brethren here this morning? How many Christians are you praying for? Reading and studying the Bible with? Amen or oh my. Listen to me. How many times do you love to come together and study the Word of God? Do you love doing that? How many Christians do you help out? Let me tell you a story about a missionary by the name of Paul Washer. Paul was down in Peru, and they were having a civil war down there at the time. And he had heard that there were some believers up in the mountains, and he needed to get up to them because they were having a rough time. He got into the back of a pickup truck, an old truck, and you know what he did? He hid, him and another guy, hid until they got up in the mountains. Then they jumped out, and they were praying the whole time. And you know what happened? This little old lady, she was a little old Christian lady, and she come to him, and he asked her, because he could speak, and he said, are you of a brethren, or are you a Christian? And she said, yes. And she took him into her house, hid him down in the basement, went out and killed a chicken, and fed him. But you know what? They got, and they preached the Word of God to those people up there. In all that, do you have that kind of love for the brethren this morning? Put legs underneath those prayers. Put legs on. Who are you when you and do you want to be with? That's who you are, is who you want to be with. You say, well, Dave, you gotta be able to witness to them. I'm not talking about witness. We can witness to people. But we do not have to hang out with them and live, and be in the kind of lifestyle that they're in. Here's another test question. I'm about done here. 1 John 2:15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, get this, is what John's saying. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. That's pretty hard questions, are they not? This is a pretty hard test. This is a very hard test, but I believe it's important that we take it. Look at that. Look at what he said. What is the world? Anything. If you want to know what the world is, anything that contradicts the attributes and the will of God, that is the world. Anything that does not come forth from God, that is of the world. If anything we watch or listen to contradicts the attributes and the will of God, you expect God to move in your life when you've got that stuff in there? It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. I'm going to tell you something. Yesterday, I was 9 years old. Today I'm 60, Ron. Lord willing, in a few years I may live to be 80. I don't know. I may not. What I'm trying to say is life is but a vapor. Life is but a vapor. Everybody in here, you'll be saying one of these days, you'll be going to be looking back and you'll say, where did my life go? It's not important about that. What is important is whether or not we know for sure that we are saved and that we are born again this morning. That's important. It's not important what's how my fastest life goes by. We must seek the things of God in the short time that He's given us. We must do that. Put our hope in things that are eternal. We're talking about loyalty here this morning. Matthew 7:20-21. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. I wanted to ask you something. In northern Nigeria, I read about this. This breaks my heart. In northern Nigeria, the Christians over there, they found some of them. You know what they did with them? They tied them on the back of camels and drug them through the desert. And then they killed them. And there's times we can't even go to church. Right? Right? There's times we find it hard to go to church. But these people are dying because they would not say that they didn't believe in Jesus. But there are times we can't even give Him our service and our honor by just going to church sometimes. Another one was skinned alive, just like they did the same. Another one of them was in China. They were skinned alive. But they would not deny Jesus Christ in their lives.
They would not deny it. Verse 16, for all that is of the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, which is in the world. 1 John 2:22, who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. And 2:29, if we know that he is righteous, ye know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. I beg you this week, you know what? Get into 1 John, read through it, and take the test. There's more in there. I just ain't got time to get into it. There's more in there. And I want to tell you what, does your life, does my life hold up to the light of God's word? Does it? As they come and get a song this morning.